The following is a production of Des Moines Sears Media. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects podcast. I'm David Sears with my very talented friend and co-host, Liz Des Moines. Gifted and Talented Education Rejects is a podcast for the brilliant misfits, burned out brainiacs, and neuro-spicy overachievers who never quite fit the mold or did until they decided the mold was pointless. We qualified, but we weren't in the program. Now we're taking the mic.
Welcome to the podcast about midlife for all the grown-up, former gifted kids who will let a phone call go to voicemail, then just text the person because of your demand avoidance. Good stuff.
If you've got your own gifted kid starter pack, the weird thing you always carry now, or habits, drop it in our comments or our DMs. We might read a few on the next episode. You can follow us on social media at Gator Official, G-A-T-E-R, on Instagram, Threads. And we have a brand new Facebook page that Liz set up. So
yes, I did.
Thank you, Liz. Liz, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
We got a sick kid. We've had a sick kid for a week. And last week we were going to try to record, but then I got sick. And then, oh boy. I also had technical difficulties for the most Liz reason ever. It's the first Sunday in December. It's after Thanksgiving. We meant to record this show before Thanksgiving, but it didn't happen. Because I don't have my own laptop, or at least I didn't. Now I do. But I didn't have my own laptop. I was using my late stepdad's laptop that my mom wasn't using. It's a really nice MacBook Pro from 2022, 2023. And I tried to do the right thing and update it. But when I updated it, it logged me out. Ooh.
And I don't know if you've ever had to deal with that. If anyone who's never had a Mac, those things are pains once you get logged out. You got to take it to the Apple store.
Yes. And the real fun is my mom was not the legacy contact.
Oh, no. Was it one of Bob's kids?
Yes. And she had to take the death certificate and basically prove, look, I am here on all of his other accounts. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
We got it unlocked and... Once we got it unlocked, then my son got sick, and I've been dealing with sick kid. He had a croup, and now it's weird because he's usually a little tank. He will fight stuff and get over in a day or two, but we're like on the second wave of this, so we're taking him into the doctor tomorrow. There's been just one day of ABA therapy last week, and he's been home sick the rest of the time, so I've been mom. Before I've been, you know, podcasts or anything else like that.
How dare you be a responsible parent, you jerk.
I know.
Don't you know that we're trying to turn this into a big deal?
And I know we are. We're trying to. But I have to say, most of my technology is like from 2018. So if I do potentially have someone out there who wants to be a Christian Grey wannabe, and send me a care package from the Apple store with an upgraded laptop, desktop, iPhone for work purposes, and an iPad that is not from 2018, I might be open to negotiation.
There you go. Also, didn't your phone brick while you were on vacation, or not vacation, you were on Thanksgiving?
Yes, it did. Okay, yes, my phone, my Samsung Galaxy S8 Active took a shit. Let's just... call it what happened.
Remember, now we're independent. You can say fuck. We're independent now. You can say fuck all you want. Fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah, I know we are, but, you know, I'm still trying to control my language, get better about it. But anyway, it crapped out on me right in the middle of cooking Thanksgiving dinner. And the reason why I still have the S8 active, even though it's from 2018, is that phone was damn near indestructible. I have backed over it with my car. It has fallen on the corner in the driveway. The only scratches it has on it were from my diamond engagement ring hitting the glass when I got married in Las Vegas back in 2008. Other than that, No scratches. I mean, this thing was damn near indestructible. The only thing that has forced me to need a new phone is some of my apps are no longer working. They're no longer supported.
Oh, well. And I feel you there because I'm starting to get to that point. I've got an iPhone 11. It is on its last legs. It's getting real slow and the screen's not getting responsive. So I'm going to have to eventually upgrade to a new iPhone, but I'm waiting as long as possible. I got other expenses I've got to do. So I feel you about just holding on to that phone for as long as possible before it bricks on you.
Well, I actually do have a new phone and I've had it for about a year. It's just, I haven't been able to get it all to transfer and I haven't been able to get back to the AT&T store because prior to going to ABA therapy, my son was with me the entire time and I could not take him in there because that would be a nightmare. And,
would he be overstimulated?
Yes. And he would want to play with absolutely everything. And then he would melt down because he cannot play with absolutely everything. And it's like, even if I took his tablet, he wouldn't want to sit there and play with his tablet because, oh, there's like this $2,000 tablet right here. Why would I want to play with my own like Amazon Fire tablet? But yeah, and the other option would be to have my mom watch him. But my mom has a really big social life and I had no idea how long this errand would take. So it kind of made it hard to say, hey, can you go with me and watch your grandson? Because I got to go do this errand. I don't know how long it's going to take. Can you just like hang out? So it interfered a little too much.
Ooh, I feel you. It's a rough time right now. Lila's battling her migraines again. She's in a migraine cluster. We finally think she's over the migraines. And this is to the point where her body is now feeling like it's been played in a football game and she never came off the field because she's just so banged up and beat up and just feels absolutely horrendous. She is seeing a new neurologist. We're hoping we'll get some stuff. She's actually got this cool process. We're just waiting on insurance to approve it where they're going to do Botox, 31 injections of Botox in her head to try to help with some of the nodding and tensing of her muscles. This will just kind of keep it relaxed. So we're hoping this will help her and we'll see what happens with that. And then a week from tomorrow is the 1 year anniversary of the passing of my father-in-law. So it's just a rough time of year right now. Our church is doing something really cool. It's called a blue service, where you basically remember those who have left you and how Christmas isn't always a wonderful time of year for some people. And it's a really cool service. I'm looking forward to going to the 16th. So we'll see how that goes. Work is going crazy. We're launching Gator. We're launching another podcast, Monster Effers Are Us. So yes. Des Moines Sears Media is going to blow up in 2026. That's the goal, to get this thing up and running. And we'll add some other podcasts to it too, but we're just starting with these two right now. Doing our best to get this thing going. I always want to call her Tisha, but it's Nicole.
Nicole.
I don't know why I want to call her Tisha, but Nicole, like more Tisha, you know? Nicole, an author who is going to be your partner. I'm along for the ride. I'm going to chime in with random stuff, but I'm looking forward
to it. David is very much the male in the room who is just, he's kind of going to be like, wait, what? You guys are doing what?
I mean, you no kink shaming here. Y'all do you know? You want to get with a werewolf, more power to you. All right. But that's going to be launching tomorrow, Monster Effers RS. We'll have Gator. Right now it's 7:25 on Central Time on December 7th. This will be up around 10 o'clock Central Time, December 7th. So we're recording this Sunday evening. Liz, I am pumped. This is a long time coming.
Yes.
And by the way, if you want to advertise on the Des Moines Sears Media Company, hit me up on my email at davidsears1982@gmail.com. I will send you advertising packages We've got some great stuff going on that's going to come. We're going to do a couple of weekly shows, a couple of bi-weekly shows. We've got stuff that'll be covering lots of topics coming down the road, and we're hopefully going to be a big freaking deal. So, opener question. We like to do these things, and you see it a lot. Liz and I have been friends since 1991. And yes. How do you know when someone goes from being an acquaintance to a friend to a real friend? Like, what's the moment for when you say, all right, yeah, I know them too. Yeah, this is one of my peeps. So I, for one, this is starting to get old school because now you got Uber. But if they will take you to the airport and pick you up from the airport, that is a real friend. Real yes. friends will take you to the airport and pick you up from the airport. I think that is another one. Another one is if you have enough dirt on each other about all the shenanigans you've pulled and you don't spill it, that's a real friend.
Yes.
So I think there are opportunities when you could rat someone out and you don't, and you love that person. So you don't want them to suffer. And, I think you got that type of love that goes from that. And, I think if you can keep dirt clean on from each other without smelling that, pick him up from the airport and talk about anything. Like Liz and I have talked about everything from sex to, oh my God, I had the worst shit the other day. It was ginormous.
You're stealing my answer.
Yes, no, but it's true. But it's true because you have to have that creature. You have to have that yeah. level of intimacy with someone because you cannot have a filter. I think you have to have that, and I think that's great for a partner as well. Like when you're married to someone, because one of the best pieces of advice I ever got in youth group was one of our youth pastors was like, "Listen, guys, you are going to be with this. When you get married, you're going to be with that woman 24/7. So there will yes. be days when you will come in and she is taking the stinkiest, foulest poop of all time. And you're going to have to just understand that the woman you love, this beautiful woman you love, can do some really foul and disgusting stuff." And one of the moments for me and Lila, we each got a stomach bug that got both ends. And we only had one bathroom in our house. So we were taking turns.
Two bucket syndrome.
We're taking turns.
Oh.
And then they gave me Donatel and I started hallucinating and I saw like Smurfs having an orgy on my arm. And Lila, who's just absolutely miserable, is like, "Do we need to go to the hospital? Am I having a psychiatric break?" She goes, "You know, it's not real. Just shut up and go to sleep." But yeah, I had a Smurf orgy on my arm from the Donatel. I have not taken Donatel since.
Hello.
So how do you know someone's a true friend?
You know, I'm a simple creature. And it is true. If you could talk about shitting sex and other people, you know you're close. And I remember having that conversation about maybe 12, 13 years ago with a wax client who became a very good friend. And she laughed her head off and she said, "Oh, girl, if that's the case, we go way back." And it's true. With my body wax clients, they usually saw me every 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, I always joked that there was no secrets between us once they got in the treatment room. And it's true. I mean, I knew just about everything on some of these people. And, you know, I think it's important to have the people that you can say stuff in front of. And it does get more and more difficult with the rise of social media and how plugged in everything is. But I think people need to stop and realize some stuff is sacred. You know, have that line that you're not going to cross, that you're not going to tell about other people just, you know, to get back or whatever.
All right. At Gator Official, GATER Official on Instagram. Give us your answer. We'll pick one to shout out next week or hit us up on our Facebook page, Gator Official there. We're launching that. We're trying to take over. We're taking over social media one follower at a time. Previously on Gifted and Talented Education Rejects, we kick things off with a deep dive into our most gifted kid birthday presents, which for Liz, including reading encyclopedias for fun. Yes, she really did that. I shared the legend of my X-Men birthday party with Unlimited Quarters, Marriott Pool Chaos, and yes, we finally beat Magneto. And I was so happy we did that.
That was pretty good. And then it got wild with tales of Busch Gardens drama, Civil War reenactments in the car, and my 30th birthday bachelorette bash, condom pinata, anatomically correct desserts, and a very appreciative stripper.
But we also got real. I opened up about the 20th anniversary of my suicide attempt, how I made it through, and the surprising things that kept me here, therapy, support, and a lot of humor.
And we closed with our first date stories of Wings, Pool Cages, Johnny Depp's worst art film ever for a date, or for a first date, I should say, and some truly questionable AIM flirting.
Can't go wrong with AIM. Plus, we left you with the time travel question. If you can invite any version of yourself to one of your birthdays, who would show up and what chaos would they bring?
Catch up on the chaos, comfort food, and confessions now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your turn. Drop your favorite moments on Gator at official.
Before we move on, so I called Dorian and told her that I talked about the insane 30th birthday party on the podcast, and she wanted me to rectify the lack of details because truly she was the MVP of the night, and it would have never been the same without her. So I mentioned that we went to every brown bag program in the greater Orlando and Kissimmee area to get condoms to fill the pinata with. And we still had to buy more condoms at Walmart to stuff so we had enough. I would just like to let everybody know what that moment was like when the pinata finally was bust open. And there was like condoms raining down on the floor, and everybody just like stopped, processed what was happening. And then the next thing that happened was like everybody scrambling to the floor to just fill up their hands with everything they could grab. It was.
Now, these weren't just generic condoms. You like had French ticklers.
No,
it was just generic.
We had Trojans. We had glow in the dark. We had like Magnums. We had Magnum XL. We had some female condoms because the LGBTQ place had female condoms too. And I was just like, well, shoot, we'll take some of those too. Why not?
You got dental dams?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
We had dental dams. We had everything. I mean, it was like a smorgasbord. They were flavored, non-flavored. They were like the, oh my gosh, what are they? Like the ones that are not latex.
The sheepskin?
Polyisoprene.
Okay.
No, it was like polyisoprene, I believe. But yeah, there was like everything. And if you've ever like been to the beach and thrown bread at the seagulls, that's about what it looked like. It was just like flock and like swarming. It was just absolutely insane. And I loved it. Of course, I was celibate at the time. So, you know, I didn't really plan on getting any of them or anything like that because who was I going to use them on? But it was just a really great moment watching everybody else enjoy themselves. And then I ran out of dollar bills while Rocky was there, our stripper. So Dorian
did he have the gold booty shorts on, like the Rocky from Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Honestly, I think they were red, but I really forget what color they were. He had like a little like thong. He didn't go down further than the G-string. Mm. He didn't go full Monty, but I ran out of dollar bills while he was there. So Dorian had to go to the Wawa across the street, across Cimarron and Lee Vista in this tube dress with club makeup and stiletto boots. And she used my debit card to get me more cash and bought a pack of gum to break the 20s and get some ones and fives. And the person just looked at her and she said, "We need ones for a stripper, okay? That's what this is. I just need ones for a stripper." The clerk just kind of like looked at her and judged her a little bit. And yeah, so Dorian is a true friend because she took judgment and
scorn.
She put her reputation as a lady on the line for me. And then also Dorian was the person that went around and made sure everybody had drinks and everyone was enjoying themselves. And then afterwards, because I didn't really eat the whole night, I was too busy like running the games and all that sort of stuff. And Dorian didn't really get a chance to either. We like cooked and baked all day, like that day and the day before, but we didn't really get to touch any of it aside from quality check after we made it. So afterwards, we like clean everything up, and then it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and we just look at each other. We're just, "I'm famished." And she's like, "I'm famished too." So we go to the ale house. So it's like right there at Cimarron and Lee Vista, right next to where I lived. And we destroyed a plate of chicken nachos, because back in those days, the chicken nachos could feed a third world nation. It was like $13. The plate was like maybe 2 feet long. And I mean, it was enormous and it was piled high, but we were so hungry that we just like killed a plate of chicken nachos between the two of us. And then we sat there, we kind of processed everything that night.
And you went full penile and, everything too. You had penis cupcakes, everything. Go back and listen to that episode. It's great. It is a great episode. So
I thought about it and I was like, you know, I should be doing this for work. This was like so much fun and everybody had such a good time. Like I should like do this for work somehow. But you know, the only thing that we didn't have, and this was a matter of logistics, it wasn't a matter of budget or anything like that. The only thing we did not have, but if we had had it over at my mom's house and we had a yard, we could have had a penis bouncy house or like one of those Schmeckle like riding bulls.
Yes.
Like one of those.
The penis ones.
One of those mechanical bulls. Yeah, we could have had that.
There you go.
The only thing stopping us was I had a third floor apartment, so we couldn't do that.
Well, speaking of food, it's the holiday season and there are tons of foods that just mean the holidays. To me, you have to have the cookies, the eggnog, all of that stuff. So with the holiday food, what is the holiday food that makes it a holiday? Also, is there a food you have a memory of and what do you refuse to touch?
No, I love this because this past Thanksgiving, the torch was passed and I got to be head chef this year for my in-laws over in Palm Desert for their Thanksgiving. And I kept it to like what they normally did because that's their tradition. The only thing that I added in was our corn pudding that actually comes from my dad's side of the family. And the recipe goes all the way back to like the early 1800s. But, you know, I really had a lot of time to think about this particular topic. And because of that, we're also going to be ranking the holiday foods on the scale of top tier, I will fight someone for a serving of this. Mid tier, I will eat it to be polite. And bottom, this tastes like homework.
To me, the absolute top tier is my mom's chocolate silk pie. It's Cool Whip and some chocolate and some other stuff that she fluffs up, puts in a graham cracker crust, and then you add some more Cool Whip on top. It's absolutely delicious. My wife does this Paula Deen mac and cheese that is absolutely amazing. It's got 5 or 6 cheeses in it. It is just so, so good. It's very labor intensive. And then the most labor intensive thing to me, it's Christmas morning. Lila does these homemade cinnamon rolls that are amazing. They're hugely labor intensive. That's why she only does them for Christmas morning, because she has to let them sit, the yeast rise overnight in the fridge with the dough and everything. But they are so stinking good. I'm not a dressing or stuffing guy. I will eat it to be polite. But I am more just give me the mac and cheese. I like mac and cheese as my carb over dressing or stuffing. Ham. I'm not a big ham guy. I know Christmas is traditionally ham, but I prefer
ham usually.
I prefer turkey over ham for Christmas. But turkey's so affiliated with Thanksgiving, you don't really get back-to-back turkeys. Now, my mom would do that sometimes, and then sometimes it would be Honey Baked Ham Company in Vestavia, which would get so busy at Christmas time. They literally have cops there directing traffic, and it's right next to where my bank was when I lived in Vestavia. So if I ever had to go to the bank, I'd have to fight the traffic from the Honey Baked Ham Company. So I think that's another reason why I don't like it, probably. It's because I had to fight all those people going to my bank for the stupid Honey Baked Ham. And then the taste like homework cranberry sauce, any form, homemade, any canned. I'm just not a cranberry sauce guy. Not a cranberry sauce guy.
I like the band. I like the band, the cranberries, but and I like candles that are scented like cranberry.
I'll do cranberry juice. I like cranberry juice. Mix it with some ginger ale. It's delicious.
Mm-mm. No, yeah. If I absolutely need it, like for a UTI or something like that, I'm taking the pill form. Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Or what are
nope,
you,
nope, nope.
What are your tears?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a meat eater. So for Christmas time, I actually love prime rib.
My mom did that one year, and that was so good.
We never did that growing up because we just didn't do prime rib. We did steaks. We did pot roast, but we never did prime rib. I don't know why. But anyway, Jacob's family, my husband, they did prime rib. Or at least they did when he was growing up. So, you know, if I see them go on sale, I grab one. But I love prime rib at Christmas time. But love turkey. I do like ham. But what I like about ham is using it for soup and beans and stuff like that afterwards. And then dressing, I'm picky about it. It's not my favorite, but I make it if it's a tradition. The dressing that I grew up with, however, or the stuffing, I should say, my grandmother did a lot of great things. Her dressing recipe is not one of them.
Which is shocking because how good a cook your grandmother was.
Yes. Her dressing recipe, on the other hand, it was just like milk, eggs, bread, and not much seasoning. And it was like this gelatinous bulb that would come out of the turkey. And we all had to eat some of it or else you'd hurt her feelings. And I always felt bad because I was just like, I don't like lying to you. But I also don't want to hurt your feelings. So I would say that was definitely the definition of this tastes like homework. That wasn't even eat it to be polite. I love our corn pudding. And that's just basically like eggs, corn, butter, sugar, flour. And it's like a pudding that you bake. So it's like an English pudding, basically. And that's always really good. It's like it's not really a souffle. I guess you could make it a souffle. You could work with it and make it a souffle, but it's not. It's just like, it's a pudding. It's like an English pudding. Mm-hmm. I hate cranberries. Love mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes are top tier, especially the way I make them, because I will boil them in chicken broth.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Or chicken stock. And then I very frequently at Thanksgiving will do the Robuchon potatoes, so a crap load of butter.
My mom does this potato casserole. It's like diced potatoes with cheese and sour cream, and it was really good. But she undercooked it for this Thanksgiving. We ended up having to redo it, and that was rough. It was good, but she just unfortunately undercooked it, and it wasn't as good as normal. Green bean casserole, I'm a big fan of. Lila despises it. I am a big fan of green bean casserole. My mom makes it for me. I'm not really much of a pecan pie because my grandmother made such a great pecan pie that I've just never been able to find.
Yeah, I'm picky about them too.
I've never been able to find one as good as my grandmother's. I will do pumpkin pie. Got to have Cool Whip though. I can't just eat straight pumpkin pie. But like I said, my mom's French silk chocolate pie is my favorite go-to this. But Lila started doing red velvet cakes because that's my favorite cake. Ooh. And she does a homemade cream cheese icing, everything from scratch. It is so delicious. She is amazing. So now that you've heard all of our holiday must-haves and must-avoids, tell us about yours on Instagram or Threads at Gator Official or on our Facebook page. Now, the holidays are very difficult for some people because your parents are divorced. And all this feeds into our next topic, divorced kids' holidays. Now, technically, I wasn't a divorced kid. My parents waited until I'd already passed 18 years on Earth. It was 2006. So literally I graduated college. They got separated that summer and then were divorced before or right after I got married in 07. So, it was rough. And then I have to do the scheduling math. It's crazy. So, my mom and dad are very good at working with each other, but they sometimes want to like, oh, can I have Christmas this year and want back-to-back Christmases or back-to-back Thanksgivings. Like my niece Natalie was born in 2021 around Christmas time, and it was my mom's year for Christmas. So mom went down to be with Melinda and her husband Rich, my brother-in-law, and my other niece, Lydia, who was just a wee babe of two at the time. And this was still post-COVID, so they couldn't have a lot of people in the hospital at the time. So my mom ended up taking care of Lydia while Rich and Melinda were in the hospital solo. And it threw a kink in the plans because we had to do everything to readjust everything because we had been going from, we had it pretty set where we flip-flopped, but dad ended up getting back-to-back Christmases. And then there was a whole hullabaloo cause the following year. His dad got Christmas again with us on Christmas Day, and mom was upset because we brought dad in on Christmas, even though it was supposed to be her year for Christmas, so we did Christmas Eve with her. So it gets frustrating. You're navigating a minefield. You're dealing with all that. It is just... It's so frustrating, but you want to try to make the best of it.
It's like coordinating a NASA launch.
It is because I'm very much a people pleaser, and I really want to make both my parents happy, and I want to try to enjoy the magic of the seasons, but sometimes they suck the life out of it. And there's a lot of driving, and it is just very tiring. So sometimes I used to, when I worked my radio job, I would take the week of Christmas off. So that way we were scheduled to get the 25th off. So I would take the Friday before Christmas off. So I'd still get my 5 days of vacation, but I'd get an extra bonus day. And oh my goodness, I needed that recovery day after Christmas just to sleep and deal with the mental stress of doing all of that. So I am not a fan of the divorced Christmas. I don't see how you were able to do it as a child going through all that stuff.
You merely adopted the dark I was born into it.
All right, Bane.
So, yeah, I definitely had the timeshare child experience. So, My parents were married for 9 years before I came along and then divorced about 6 months after I was born. So I grew up with two Christmases, technically three if we count my dad's mother's house too, two Easters, two birthdays. It was normal for me. Plus, I was an only child. We really didn't have the same kind of emotional calculus that you had. Because, like, even when we moved to Florida, when my family moved to Florida, my dad stayed in Kentucky. It was just every other year, I'll be with my dad and his family at Christmas. And then I'll fly back the day after Christmas. And then we sort of did Christmas again. Like, we did the 26th was another Christmas Eve. That was like Christmas Eve redo. And then, like, we had Christmas again on the 27th when I lived in Florida. Or, like, with my dad, I would spend Christmas with my mom and my grandparents in Florida. And then I would fly out the 26th and come back for New Year's Eve. So it was pretty normal for me. I didn't really have another time where that wasn't what I did. And like when I was a little kid, when I was in Kentucky, it was like I would have my first Christmas in the morning with my mom and I would be in pajamas and then I'd have to get dressed. And we always did like a Christmas brunch. So that I think kind of started my family doing holiday brunches rather than dinners. So, you know, it was more the norm for us to either go out or to like eat somewhere around like 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock rather than like have a big Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. And then my dad would come get me and I would go open presents over at his mother's house because I would get stuff from my cousins. And then I would end up over at my dad's house and he'd have stuff for me under the tree there. And so that was just kind of how we rolled. So I wouldn't say that it was any better. I would just say that it was just kind of normal and it was just what I was used to. And then I would hear other people talk about, oh, I just had one Christmas. And I'd have to sit there and say, oh, yeah. One Christmas, what's that? You know?
I get it. And I did enjoy that as a child. Like for the most part, when we moved to Alabama, we would do something Christmas morning with just the four of us. And then we'd go see my dad's parents and dad's family. And then we'd the next day do something with my mom's family, the Woodbys. So that's how we did it. But, it was a difficult time. And if you are a divorced kid, tell us your timeshare kid experience. DM or tag us at GatorOfficial on Instagram threads or on our Facebook page. Now, you are a bit of an introvert who has extrovert bursts. I'm yes. more of an extrovert who has introvert bursts. But everybody during the holidays has a people tolerance meter. So even yes. when everyone means well, juggling two families in one day is exhausting. So let's talk about the moment your brain says, okay, I'm done with humans. What is your people tolerance meter?
Oh boy. I would just like to say, this is why I started cooking for every family holiday. It was an excuse to keep busy. It's, oh, I can't answer why I'm not dating anyone decent right now. I need to go peel potatoes. And, you know, there's plenty of reasons why I became head chef, starting with my mom stopping enjoying cooking as much because she's more of an entertainer than a chef. But it's also, I was a picky eater. So it was inconvenient to everyone else. So it was easier for me to just go into the kitchen. But also when my first marriage ended, the stories about him were legendary. And for some reason, everybody loved bringing him up. And
let's talk about your ex who you despise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I didn't. I didn't even tell a lot of the stuff that actually went on. Everybody just knew like the funnier stories about him, like the little idiosyncrasies and stuff like that. It was a far more traumatic experience for me than I let on. So naturally, I hated how everybody loved bringing him up. But being in the kitchen, that was how I escaped. And my best friend, Dorian, she was the one who would get everyone to change the topic because she knew how upsetting it was for me. And if I would have said anything, I would always hear, oh, you're being too sensitive, just lighten up. But becoming Cinderella on holidays, it's a double-edged sword. You know, there's not a lot of family pictures of me as an adult because I was usually in the kitchen sweating like a pig over the stove in the oven. I didn't have time to do my hair or my makeup. And the times I did, it would have taken time away from when I was supposed to get stuff done. And I just felt the pressure because I wasn't there to expedite things. And then I hear, oh, why didn't you dress up like anyone else? And I'm like, if I would have dressed up like everyone else, if I would have taken that time, you would not be sitting down at the table right now.
You had to be that way. Cause yeah. I know your mom was an okay cook, but your grandmother, when she passed, that pretty much all fell to you because your grandmother did most of the cooking for the holidays. Me, I have a pretty high people tolerance meter, but I watch for Lila. Because Lila, there gets to a point where Lila starts to like, I need to go. Because she is very much overstimulated. She's had enough dealing with everything. She's got her limits, and I don't like testing those. Because when she starts to stress, that can be a migraine trigger too. So if it's, and we've had these the past couple of Christmases where it's been a storm front coming through and she's very susceptible to barometric pressure. So she'll play like a champion, but then stress and the barometric pressure will cause her to have a migraine. So I just get her home and get her in the dark as soon as possible. I enjoy hanging with people and talking to people. I get along pretty well with everyone. So it's just, one of those situations, where I have a high tolerance and I try to make everyone happy and just help give them good memories. But there does come a point when I start to get tired and just like, I want to go home and read my book. If you want to tell us about your people tolerance meter, tag us on Gator Official on Instagram or Threads. Let us know or hit us up on our Facebook page. And now for our closing question, as a teen or child, what was your most embarrassing moment? As a teen, I was a freshman at Vestavia High School, and we were having a playoff game. Now, the football field clubhouse was on a hill, and the weight room, you had to walk down a embankment to get to the weight room. Well, my freshman year, had been placed in the southern bracket, so we had a school for Mobile that basically left at 8 in the morning and got there right around freshman athletics period. And freshman athletics, at that time, the freshman football team would mark the field, paint the yardage markers and everything. And unbeknownst to me, one of my teammates was spray painting my butt in my sweatpants.
Oh, shit.
So I find out about it, I'm pissed. Well, then the coach, the coach needs me to go talk to the Mobile team to see what time they want their dinner to arrive because we were going to feed them before the game. And as I go down there, I slip on the embankment in my normal clothes and just get covered head to toe with mud. So I said, damn it, which you're not supposed to cuss around my coach. My coach, Coach Anderson, did not like cussing. In fact, he had a rule. If you ever caught him cussing, you could kick him in the butt. So he was,
I like that,
devout, godly man. One of the best coaches you could ask for in high school. So he let it slide because he saw how embarrassed I was. So I go, I'm covered in mud, go talk to the Mobile team, come back, tell Coach Anderson. I was like, I got to change clothes. But my sweatpants have been spray painted. So I have, it looks like this giant wet white stain on my butt. And so I'm just pissed. And technically, sweatpants were banned as wear in my high school. You couldn't wear sweatpants, but my jeans were absolutely covered in mud. My shoes were covered in mud. My Scooby-Doo shirt was covered in mud. And I just like, fuck it. I'm going to wear my football clothes, 'cause those are the only things that are clean. And I was so embarrassed just walking through, 'cause I wiped the mud off my face and everything, but like it still was in my hair and I couldn't get it out. And I was just covered, and I had to walk through high school with spray painted pants and mud. And I was so pissed and embarrassed, almost got in a fight. But my teacher at the time, Miss Morrison, my algebra teacher, was really cool. She talked us down, got me in the hallway to calm down. But I was so miserable and just absolutely embarrassed, because of course, who should see me but my crush in the hallway when I look like a hobo?
Always.
When I look like a hobo. No.
So always. That's always how it happens. Yeah.
So that freshman year of high school. There you go. What's your most embarrassing moment as a teen or child?
Oh, I totally got this. So 7th grade, raging hormones, lose my shit over your friend from band named Adam. And looking back, I don't even know why. Maybe he was sort of good looking and almost as tall as me, but really, I bleed hormonal insanity. I am embarrassed by my reaction to him. But what was worse was I told my mom and my grandparents about him. And this was the moment I stopped trusting my family with any information about my love life. It was parent-teacher night at Horizon Middle School. It was 8th grade. You were already gone.
Go Eagles! Go Eagles!
Yes. You were already gone. And my mom and my grandparents and I were waiting to talk to Ms. Steele, who was my intro to social sciences teacher. And I remember this clear as day. So you were already in Alabama. So I don't think you had her.
I did.
But anyway, Adam was in the room with his mom and dad, and they were talking to Ms. Steele, and there were like two of my classmates ahead. And I forget who it was. I don't think it was anyone I was close friends with, but just someone I knew. And they were ahead of us. And as Adam and his parents were walking out, Adam sort of did this nervous shuffle walking by me when he passed, because, you know, what can I say? I was Mary Catherine Gallagher from Superstar and Saturday Night Live when it came to my crushes back in those days.
did you do impressive monologues from videos?
Yes, I did. I own it. I had no chill. I was a total spaz. And total, like, chaser, pick-me energy, the whole thing. And so he's, like, rightly so, nervously shuffling by. And my mom notices that I'm acting a little shy, and that's not common for me. Or anything like that. So they put two and two together, and my mom says, "Oh, well, this must be Adam. Liz has said so much about your son." And what happened next, I just wanted the earth to swallow me whole. But it didn't. You know what? Fuck it. I'm on a tangent. I'm going to keep going. So it was still like this the last time I was single as an adult. When I was in the dating pool in my late 20s, my mom would get so upset, because over time I learned, and see, you were married, so you didn't have to worry about any of this shit. You were like, you know, this was a different thing. I had a habit of message warring with somebody, and then when you go out on the date, you already know everything and there's like nothing to talk about. It's like the ADHD new person, got to know everything sort of thing. But I'd learned to stop doing that. Don't do the message war and just talk enough to know whether or not you want to have a date with him and then go on the date. And then when you're on the date, that's when you start asking all the questions and finding out all the stuff about them like a normal person, like you're supposed to. But with my family, there is no being a normal person. If I told my parents I was going out with somebody, especially my mom or my grandmother, they wanted to know everything about them. Like they wanted an FBI dossier on them. And I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know. They'll ask things like, well, what do their parents do? And I'm like, he is 27. He has not lived at home for a good 7 years. I don't know. And then they would get upset because I didn't ask these things. And I'm like, I'm just going on one date with them. I don't know these things. Maybe we'll talk about them. Maybe we won't. Newsflash, I'm not asking about what you're interested in because I don't think about you when I'm out on a first date.
What?
I try not to.
What?
Yeah. And, you know, if I was going out on a second date with somebody, oh, then I would immediately start getting grilled. Like I was planning on marrying them. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm still trying to figure out if I want to sit across from them for another meal. You know, go to the restaurant at the same time, sit in the same booth, try not to make awkward conversation. That's what I'm trying to figure out to do here. I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm still trying to figure out if I want to spend more of my time with them or if I'd rather pick up another shift at work or go hang out with Dorian or Brian. Mm. And then they would make me so anxious and put so much pressure on me that I stopped talking to them about any of my dates or telling them anything at all that was going on, like anything at all. And it pissed them off, especially my mom, so bad. She took it personally with all of it. And I remember I told her this one time, it was getting close to one of my birthdays and I was turning 27. And it's like, maybe 27, 28. And I was going to Lane Bryant to use my birthday coupons because that was sort of my thing I did. I would go do birthday shopping. And she came shopping with me for some mother-daughter time. And I told my mom, oh yeah, I've got a date tomorrow night. And that was about it. Just some basics about him. I forget his name. I want to say it was Ernie. I really do forget his name. Ernie, Dave, something generic. It wasn't
I just think of Bert and Ernie anytime you say Ernie.
I know.
Sesame
Street. Yeah, he was a pastry chef. He worked at one of the Disney resorts. He was from Chicago. He graduated from Le Cordon Bleu up there. He was shorter than me, but you know, most of them are. And I was excited because I like making pastries. I like baking. I thought worst case scenario, we sit there and we talk about that. And maybe he knows how to order some really good stuff. And she's asking all these questions and I'm like, I don't know. But then we get to Lane Bryant and the sales lady wants to know what I'm getting an outfit for. And I'm like, well, I do have a date tomorrow, but it's a first date and I'm not getting anything special for him. But I would like to get some stuff to kind of like spruce up my wardrobe for the season. And so she asked about the date and I told her the same exact information I told my mother. And my mom gets all pissed off and defensive that I told the sales lady, but it was the same exact information that I gave her. Nothing any different, but she got pissed off about it. And then it just made the rest of the shopping trip just so fucking uncomfortable. It's like I could not enjoy my birthday shopping. And then the date itself was a bit of a dud. So it like wasn't even worth the drama. And that was what pissed me off the most. And this one stuck out. This was one of the reasons why I started writing the Laneverse stories and things like that, because I almost got mugged in downtown Orlando walking from Church Street to meet him. Yeah, I was walking from the parking garage over to where the multi-use high-rises that had the movie theater. And so this guy comes up and got a gun and give me your money. And I'm like, I'm an experienced club girl. I know you don't carry your cash on your person. You shove it in your bra. You shove your card, your ID, anything like that in your bra. All you have on your purse is maybe your phone, lipstick, and, you know, car keys, something that won't fit in your bra. So I opened up my purse. It was like tiny Guess club purse.
Like one of the little clutches. Yeah.
Yes. It was a little leopard print clutch. I opened it up and I show him my ancient Nokia phone and the limited edition Guerlain lipstick I had, which cost more than the phone. And I said, take your pick. The lipstick is worth more than the phone, but it's not your color season. And the thug just looked at me and asked where my money was. And I smart mouth back that I'm going on a date. And I'm really hoping the hell that my date doesn't expect me to go Dutch. And then the guy took off because I guess he wasn't expecting it. But yeah, my date, not terrible, but awkward because Machete is not a first date movie. I can give you crap all I want about Libertine.
Because you saw Machete.
Because I saw Machete as a first date. And I saw Crank 2 as a first date too. Another first date. But yeah, neither of them are first date movies. And so then we go to this place, which had really great tapas, which I'm sad it's no longer there. But it was fabulous. I took Dorian back. And he was shorter. He was cute. But something was off. But I was willing to see him again until the end of the date, when I ended up walking him to his car, parked in one of the little lots under I-4, like under the overpass, and then going back into downtown Orlando alone to the garage where my car was at. I just sort of hoped that word got out. I know. And I just
he didn't offer to drive you back to your car?
No, he did not. He did not offer to walk me back to my car, and I even let him know what happened to me. And he just kind of looked like he shat his pants. Anyway, so I'm walking back there and I'm hoping word got out that I got a mouth on me. So you don't want to, like, you know, try anything. Also, I don't have any money. So I'm not like your mark. And so the next day I get an email from him and he says he can't go out with me again because he actually has a girlfriend back in Chicago and he's too attracted to me and would definitely cheat on her. And I'm like, at 0 point did he mention that he was taken and this was a buddy thing. I thought it was a date. His settings were long-term and short-term. And I really scratched my head and then I sent back as a response, thank you. But for future reference, a simple, I'm just not that into you will suffice. He sent back several, you know, emails claiming it was the opposite, but yeah, y'all are weird.
Well, men are weird. I'll give you that. But yeah. If you want to talk about your most embarrassing moment, we want to feature you in our next episode. Tell us your reject story. DM us on Gator Official. That's G-A-T-E-R, Gator with an E official, or tag us on Threads or Instagram or our Facebook page so we can share it next week. So, all right. Well, we got to get out of here because we've got another podcast to record. From the link on our official Instagram account, you will find a link to previous episodes, updates, and links to show your support for myself and my co-host as a sponsor of the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects. If you want to be an advertiser, email me at davidsears1982@gmail.com. Liz, how can they find you on social media?
I am at Liz DeMoisey Books. That is Liz DeMoisey, DeMoisey Books on Instagram, Threads, and on TikTok.
I'm at DavidSears75 on X/Twitter, at DavidSears1982 on Instagram. I'm on TikTok, but I never use it. I just get video from Liz's wife and my cousin that send them to me to watch. Liz, it has been a pleasure. Can't wait to talk to you next Sunday. Can't wait to figure out what we're going to talk about next week. So for Liz DeMoisey, I'm David Sears, and this has been the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects. Have a nice day.
The proceeding has been a production of DeMoisey Sears Media.